Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. We are always on this program encouraging you all to do things with different members of your family, especially the young ones. And, of course, one of the things that young people love to do, and I know this from my nephew, is they love to play. Well, our next guest has written a book that not only brings together her many years of experience when it comes to childhood education, but also helps us to make it a little bit fun when it comes to playing and also enjoying it ourselves. Ann Godzikowski is with us today to discuss her book, Creating a Beautiful Mess, 10 Essential Play Experiences for a Joyous Childhood. We're going to talk to Ann not only about what led her to write the book, but also what it's been like for her to share not only some great tips that she's been able to glean, but also, of course, some examples from others as well. Ann, thank you so much for the time today. Glad you could join us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. And yeah, I really enjoyed the book, as I was sharing with you before we went live. My regular audience knows that I don't have any children of my own, but that is made up for by the fact that I have a very active 7-year-old nephew. And we get a chance to play sometimes. We love building blocks. We love to go outside and you know, and play soccer some. And so, you know, spending that time with him is always, you know, it's fun for me. But, of course, it can be challenging to carve out that time. I love the fact in the book that you talk about, though, how valuable that time is and what we can share in those experiences. What has it been like for you, Anne, to use this book to not only share that information, but also to give some great tips and ideas on how we can do so?
Yeah, well, the reason I wrote the book is because the families that I work with, a lot of the parents frequently ask me questions about the role of technology in children's lives. That seems to be something that families are really concerned about in the last few years. How much screen time their children are spending looking at computer screens, playing computer games, tablets and smartphones. You know, even really young children now, 2- and 3-year-olds, are playing, you know, apps on tablets. And parents are wondering, you know, what are the children missing out on when they're using this technology, and is there a role for technology in play? So I took a look at, you know, what I knew from my experience working with children. I did a lot of research. I played with a lot of kids. And I put together 10 categories, 10 essential play experiences, so that parents could get a good sense of balanced play experiences. And one of those is technology, you know, playing with machines and learning about how machines work. But there are a lot of other experiences that are really important for children, too, in their play.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because you and I had not talked about that particular point before we went live here. But I remember when I was reading the book, because we've talked about that on this show when we've been discussing childhood education and development and about the role of technology. And I love the fact how you use the word machines, you know, in some instances instead of technology. Because I think, you know, as you said, when people hear technology, you automatically think, oh, bad, you know, too much time, you know, on the iPad or on the different games. But I love the fact that you show that, you know, so many things, you know, just as they're moving parts, you know, for different, you know, games like that, there are also moving parts in other things, and how that can be a learning experience. That seems to be almost a theme in the book, to not only have fun with the kids, and but to use every opportunity as a teachable moment, as something to share something. Is that one of the things that you've kind of seen throughout your time in playing with children?
I have. You know, I have a background in a fairly traditional kind of preschool, nursery school background, where we look at the whole child, and play is a really important part of that. In my current position, where I've been for a number of years now, I work at Northwestern University in the Chicago area, and I work on developing programs for academically gifted kids, primarily in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And you would think that those two worlds are really different, like a traditional nursery school as compared to STEM learning, you know, in a college or you know, for gifted kids within a college setting. And actually, there's so much that's in common, because there's so much learning that happens during play. There's so much exploration that happens when you're deeply involved in learning. And a lot of these STEM topics, the science, technology, engineering, and math, have to do with experimentation and exploration. And so it's been really an interesting experience for me to sort of blend these different parts of my career together and look at all kinds of play, certainly block play and playing with different kinds of machines and figuring out how things work, but the messy play too, all kinds of play involves some level of exploration, of asking questions, of discovering new things.
Right, exactly. I'm glad you mentioned the messy play. I want to get into that in the title of the book, but for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Excited to welcome to our program today Ann Gotzikowski. We're talking to her not only about her book, Creating a Beautiful Mess, 10 Essential Play Experiences for a Joyous Childhood, but also what it's been like for her to share this with the children as well as now with adults through this book. You know, you gave a great example, and I thought about my own childhood with this. I have love to create all of my life, draw, and I think I would find anything and everything to draw on and when I was growing up, and sometimes I find myself doing the same thing today. But you talk about the importance of kind of giving a child permission to create and letting them know that that's okay. One of the experiences you shared is how I think it was your own mother would, you know, clean off the table, and that was the space, you know, that you all had to, you know, to use to draw on. And, you know, for others it might be another place. You know, do you find that also is essential to not only to encourage, you know, creativity, but also to allow them to know it's okay. It's okay to do. And, you know, even if it may seem a little unusual for some.
Yeah, yeah. That story about my brothers and I, how we would play with on the kitchen table, that we didn't do this very often. And, you know, every parent has their own limits in terms of how much mess they can handle. But once in a while, it must have only been probably once or twice a year, my mom would clean off the table. They had kind of a linoleum wipe-off surface, and she would let us draw on the table with our ice cream pops. So like these kind of melty fudge pops on a stick, and we would draw on the table until the table was completely covered with chocolate, and then she would, you know, hose us down and clean off the table. But it was such an amazing experience. So I got the message that there are certain times and places where you can let loose, when you can be really creative, when you can make a mess. But I also knew that there were other times that you couldn't do that. You know, it was clear that there's a balance. There's a time and a place for everything.
Right. And I think that is it. And I think the thing is, for people who can be a little stuck in the mud, as they like to call it, like myself, I have to say, I'm a little bit more conservative, and I think, you know, we have to be able to make allowances. Another thing I was mentioning to you before we went live here, the thing that I got in the book was about the Play-Doh. And Play-Doh was one of my favorites growing up, and I think in some ways it still is fun for me to be involved in with my nephew and even sometimes just me. But, you know, you give an example in the book of the one mother of who, you know, may say, you know what, well, you played with that, you know, at school. You don't need to do that here because, you know, I don't want it, you know, all over the place. I want it in my rugs, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You share it in the book how, you know, you would be one of those parents who would make the allowances, allow it to be. You know, I think the other great thing about this book, Anne, is that it's not like you say this is the way it's supposed to be and this is what you should do, and if you're not doing this, you're doing it wrong. Was that important for you also? Because parenting is, as you say in the book, it's an individual thing. Was it important for you to give the guidelines and just let them be able to decide what may work for them?
Yeah, that was definitely an important part of the process of the book. As I would imagine the parents I knew, the people I met, or imagine people reading the book, I wanted to make sure that they experienced the book as a really hopeful book, as a book about all the things that they have to look forward to in doing with their children, not a pressure that they have to be doing things a certain way. Because if you look at the parenting books on the market, if you walk through a bookstore and you look in the parenting section, so many of those books are warning parents about terrible things that are going to happen. And I think it's really important for parents to find the joy themselves, to be at ease, to have a sense of freedom. So creating a beautiful mess, there are so many ways that you can get messy without compromising your own sense of order in your household. You can go outdoors. You can do it in the bathtub. And in the chapter on specifically about those kinds of messes, I also write about how you could create a mess with light. You could take out some flashlights and you can make shadows on the wall. You know, if you're afraid of your child finger painting on the wall, then make
right.
shadows with a flashlight, or make a mess of sound. Make a bunch of musical instruments out of cardboard boxes and then put it all away. Put it in the recycling bin when you're done. There are ways that you can have a really free and open, playful experience with your child in a way that makes sense for you and your household.
Yeah, exactly. One of the chapters that I found the most interesting, and I actually want to read some from this one because I had not thought about this. I have grew up with animals. Of course, I grew up in the country, too, and so animals were all around me anyway. But I always had a hamster or a guinea pig or, you know, I went through my dog phase. Now I'm into my cat phase. So I have cats now. But I think, you know, I've always been a person who loves to have animals, and I never thought about it the way you express it in the chapter, cuddling something soft and small, about why this was an important thing. For, you know, I never was big on stuffed animals, ironically, I guess because I had the real animals and I was always taught how to hold them and don't squeeze too hard, you know, that kind of thing. You know, has that been also, you know, a great lesson to be able to share, the importance of giving children that comfort that they can show, not only show their own affection with it, and I never thought about this before with stuffed animals, why, you know, kids love to, you know, to cuddle with them and that kind of thing, because they're expressing that need they have. Has that been a great thing for you to share with parents too?
Yeah, I think that's been a relief for parents, for me, to frame that kind of play in this way. So many children will naturally develop a special toy when they're really little, and often it's a teddy bear, or it might be a doll, or it might be a blanket, like a, you know, what we think of as a security blanket. Not every child will do this, but a lot of kids do, and parents worry that the children are becoming too attached to this item, and are they ever going to give it up? And of course they will. We don't have to worry about that. They're going to naturally grow up. They're going to want to, you know, be, they're going to want to go off to school and not be carrying a teddy bear around with them. That they're going to be fine. But the value of this kind of play is that they're learning how to care for something small and more vulnerable than they are. So if you watch children with these types of toys, they can be so gentle with them, and they talk to them and they reassure them. And it's just a really wonderful kind of behavior that we see in children. So let's not be in a hurry to have them stop doing that. It's a wonderful learning experience. And I think that carries over into how they care for pets. I think it's good practice for caring for a pet. I did that with my own daughter. She had a little soft stuffed dog that she took care of, and we would talk about how when we get a real dog, when she's older, we'll take care of it. And then we did, and we got a real dog. So I think is a real connection there. And one of the points I made in that chapter is that I also think it's especially important for boys to have that experience, because often we kind of push boys towards the more active, the more, you know, stereotypical boy toys, the action figures and things like that. But if you have a little boy who knows how to take care of a soft pet or knows how to take care of an animal, that's a wonderful thing, and I don't think we should be turning any children away from that.
Exactly. Really good points. And I think they all are in this book and written in such a careful way. You spent a great deal of your life, Anne, in being able to not only to share these tips with children when it comes to childhood education, but also being in children's lives yourself as an educator yourself. Do you feel as though this is just the work that you were purposed to do, that this is the work that really brings you the most joy in life?
I do. I loved writing the book. It was the writing process for this book was such a joy to me. And I've written a lot for teachers. I've written a lot of curriculum and training materials for teachers, which I also really enjoy. But this is my first book for parents. And I mentioned before, as I was writing, I would imagine people I know, my friends, my family, people I had worked with. And it was such a pleasure to tell their stories and bring that in and imagine them reading the book. And the book just came out in August. It hasn't been out for very long. But I've been hearing a lot about people giving the book to expectant parents or parents of newborns because, as I said before, it's a hopeful book. It's about the things that they can be excited to look forward to. And I've also been hearing a lot from grandparents who have been concerned that play is so different now than it was when they were kids. But the book reassures them that play is still play. Kids are still kids. Children still enjoy doing all the things that they enjoyed doing, you know, 50 years ago. They're still, you know, little human beings who love to play.
Yeah, I think that is so true. And I think, too, you know, there are so many great examples because, again, you know, there are so many things out there that are, you know, telling parents how they are supposed to be, what they aren't supposed to allow, and what's bad for their kids, and, you know, what's good for them. And I love the fact that in this book, Creating a Beautiful Mess, you're able to give them, you know, a lot of different options and allow them to be able to pick and choose what works for them, as well as to see what has worked for others. Again, everyone, Ann Godzikowski is our guest for this segment. We're discussing her book, Creating a Beautiful Mess, 10 Essential Play Experiences for a Joyous Childhood. The next chapter, actually the last chapter we'll discuss in this segment with you, Ann, is one that I also thought was great, and that is telling stories with toys. I love storytelling. That this is step number 9 in the book that you mentioned. And you discussed that there are many different ways, again, another thing to remember, a lot of different ways to do this, whether it's using toys, whether it's being able to, you know, to get involved, you know, with writing things out, telling stories on paper. You know, talk to us about this chapter, because it also goes into something else that we've been hearing some about in the news today, and that is gender roles. You know, why was this an important chapter for you to be able to mention and to approach it the way that you did?
This was a really important chapter, and also it was a little bit more difficult chapter because there's not a lot in the child development or education literature about playing with action figures and little dolls and the kinds of, you know, plastic toys that are highly commercialized. You walk into a toy store or, you know, a big discount store, and you just see, you know, all these toys that come in sets, and they're marketed in a way that pressures families to buy more and more and more. So I wondered if there really was a place for that in this book. So I had to think really carefully about that. When I watch children play with action figures or play with the little little dolls, the fashion dolls or the dolls that come in sets, one of the things that I noticed is that it is an extension of pretend play. So there's a lot of imagination that goes into that. And might start with the kinds of scenarios that are on the package, but usually children will bring their own piece to that. They'll rename the character, or they'll have the little action figure go on an adventure somewhere that's completely out of the child's own imagination. So I began to notice that there is a lot of value to these toys. These are not just commercialized toys based on television characters. The children are bringing their own world. They're imagining their own world in their own way. And so I think that's really valuable. I think it's like when an author takes a traditional fairy tale like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and they tell it their own way. And maybe it's, instead of Goldilocks being a girl, maybe in this version, Goldilocks is a boy, or instead of bears, they're goats. You know, you see this in literature where authors have taken traditional stories and they've made it their own way. I believe that this is what children are doing when they take these trademark characters and they're creating their own stories. They're really telling those stories their own way in the dialogue that they speak while they're playing and the way they interact with other kids while they're playing. I think there's still a lot of rich play that happens when children play with those toys.
Right, right. You address it in another chapter as well, Anne, about the importance of being involved and making sure that especially children have varying things to see, because unfortunately with some entertainment and some shows, you know, you get a idea for, you know, what life is supposed to be like or what life is like. Why it's important for you to show a varying, you know, degree of that with your child, which again is important for the child or guardian, I mean the parent or guardian to be so involved. You know, has that also been something that you've felt important to share, the importance of not just allowing what is popular or what is in pop culture to be, you know, the deciding factor for a child, but to be able to allow them to see other examples, including with yourself and the way you interact, as other examples as well?
Yeah, and in terms of the dolls and the toys and the little animals that they play with, I do encourage parents to at least have some examples of toys and dolls that look like you, or that look like your family or the people that you know, to have some animal toys that are realistic, you know, to have a little set of farm toys or a little set of dogs and cats that look like actual dogs and cats. I think that's especially important when they're young. They want to start out with the more familiar and then expand into the more imaginative. And I do pay close attention to some of the messages that children get about gender in the marketing of toys. I spent a lot of time in the book looking at, especially around block play and construction play and how to encourage girls to do that. Because I think sometimes they get messages, I know I did when I was a kid, that blocks are for boys. And that really is such a creative type of play. Children learn a lot about science, engineering, about math, from playing with shapes and constructing things out of toys. I think it's really important that girls as well as boys have a very diverse play experience with construction toys.
Exactly. And I think that again is why, you know, that allowance has to be made to allow them to express themselves. And, you know, I think one of the most dangerous things, and I found this myself and with my nephews, is to make them feel as though they're doing something wrong. And I think, you know, it can be confusing to the child, you know, at times. And then, of course, you know, it stifles them in some ways. So I think, you know, to be able to share the information the way you've been able to do in this book is definitely helpful and inspiring, and allows them to know that even though it may seem like a lot, it can be an experience. It can be another extension of even learning yourself, being able to extend yourself, being able to be a part of that process, be a part of that time in their lives that is so important, that being playtime. Again, everyone, Ann Godzikowski is our guest for this segment. We've been discussing the book, Creating a Beautiful Mess, 10 Essential Play Experiences for a Joyous Childhood. So, Ann, you said this book is different. What was your hope at the end of the day when a parent finishes this book, or as they probably will continue to refer to it, what was your hope they would be able to take away from it?
I just hope that the parents will get excited and eager to play with their children, that they'll remember play experiences from when they were a child and connect to that. I hope that they don't even finish the book. I hope that they stop halfway because they're so excited and they want to play, and then pick up the book again later and get more ideas. I just hope that they have fun and laugh and joke around with their kids and run around with their kids and just really enjoy their child's childhood.
Yeah, I think that is it. You know, in the chapter, when you said that, it made me think about the chapter, Creating a Beautiful Mess, chapter 6.6 in the book, how, you know, using their voice, you know, as a plaything, how even that is something that you can experience with. I know my nephew loves that as well. You know, changing your voice and, you know, and making that a part of the experience is something that is also enjoyable. And I think, you know, again, as you said, it can be such a teachable time as well as fun for the child. And, you know, and you can't get any better than that, than bringing the two together. The book is available, of course, through our friends at Amazon.com. You guys can head over there and get it. If your favorite bookstore does not have it, they will be glad to be able to order it from you. But, Anne, you and I were talking about they can get it through the publisher as well. How can they stay connected with you and also find out about the publisher's website?
Sure. The book is published by Red Leaf Press, and their website is redleafpress.org. So think of a red leaf. The book is called Creating a Beautiful Mess. And I have an author website, which is my name. It's anngadzikowski.com, and that's spelled anngadzikowski.com.
All right, so make sure you guys are staying connected with Anne, and Anne, we'll make it easy also for our online audience, and we'll put both your website and the publisher's website in the notes for this show as well to make it easy for them to be able to find it there. Thank you so much for the time today, Anne. Really enjoyed this conversation. I know our listeners, both on the radio side as well as those online, will be able to find something they can be able to include in their own lives, and I hope you'll come back. We'd love to have you back on the program.
I would love that, too. Thank you so much.
Hey, you're more than welcome. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. For those joining us on the radio dial, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come at the bottom of the hour. For those joining us online, though, we are going to lose you. So if you came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media friends at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or head over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on that link. You'll listen to the show completely for free, and even share it with your friends from there. I should mention that Anne has a Facebook fan page as well. Make sure you guys like that page to stay connected with her there as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.